We'll undoubtedly at least go 30 minutes into overdrive next hour so we can take your calls for Dr. Steve Pachinik. This is now, his fifth visit with us in the last 2 weeks. Dr. Steve Pachinik was Deputy Assistant Secretary under Henry Kissinger of State, Cyrus Vance, James Baker. His expertise includes foreign policy, international crisis management, and psychological warfare. He served the presidential administrations of Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush in the capacity of the deputy secretary. In 1974, Pachinik joined the U.S. State Department as a consultant to restructure its Office of Prevention of Terrorism. In 1976, Pachinik was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. StevePachinik.com. He also co-authored quite a few of the big Tom Clancy books. He was the Jack Ryan character. That's on record what they modeled that after. And he also, of course, is, you go to IMDb, International Movie Database, all the films and TV shows that he's been behind. And we're going to cover the waterfront today. I said, what do you want to talk about? And he said, well, I want to get into GM with our money financing a celebration of the Communist Party in China. That's worse than New York lighting up the Empire State's building in the Communist Chinese colors. He wants to get into this report. Banned terror group seeks U.S. rebirth. That's in the Wall Street Journal. He also said he wants to talk about Schwarzenegger and the fact that everybody knew he had this son. I was told this by Hollywood people. I was told this by famous bodybuilders that contacted me whenever I had the website ArnoldExposed.com. We still have it. But when he was talking about running for president, we put that out in part of my film. The Rise of the Police State covers that. He wants to get into the Dominique Strauss-Kahn thing, all of it, and how this ties into intelligence operations today. Dr. Pachinik, good to have you back with us.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I was so irate as a citizen of the United States to read this in the Washington Times on May 18th, which said that Picket, GM sponsors and celebrates soon-to-be-released Chi-Com, that's Chinese Communist propaganda film. And for your audience, what this really means is that the head of GM, a gentleman by the name of Daniel Ackerson, who was trained at the U.S. Naval Academy and worked his way up as a lieutenant on a destroyer and then became CEO, thanks to our Treasury Department, has decided to spend our money. That's my money, your money, ladies and gentlemen, the United States government, where we own 33% of General Motors, to finance and sponsor a propaganda film. That's a communist, Chinese communist propaganda film explaining how great the Chinese Communist Party is since its birth 90 years. Now, let's differentiate between the Chinese people who have done a wonderful job of making their nation grow, who have resisted this repressive Chinese country, have used their Twitter, things like Sina, S-I-N-A, and we've used our Twitters, and I've used fax machines to help them in Tiananmen Square. And in turn, this traitor, American traitor, Daniel Ackerson, who's hired by us to fund GM, which we sponsored, has gone out of his way to sponsor this film called The Birth of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, for those of you who may not know what the birth of the Chinese Communist Party, it is built on repression, death, suppression, and the killing of millions of Chinese.
No one has killed more, not the Nazis, Soviet communists. The Chinese government admits under Mao, they say 86 million. Our State Department says 64 million. The issue here is you can pull up the films they shot themselves of old women, children being lined up, their heads being blown off. And this shows who runs our government. By the way, you have the...
Well, you're right, Alex, because this gentleman, Daniel Ackerson, was a member of which group? The Carlyle Group out of Washington. Once again, that has been indicted for all kinds of malfeasant experiences and unusual activities financially. But more importantly, he was appointed by a Treasury Department. So this is what I'm asking the Chinese citizens to do. Go on Sina, S-I-N-A, and Twitter against this issue. And I want the Americans to Twitter to cease and desist this funding of the Chinese propaganda film. Now, the communists, remember, Chinese Communist Party killed our American troops in North Korea. They initiated the war in Korea. They assisted in the Vietnam War. They assisted, they slaughtered millions, what you said, 60 to 80 million, in the Cultural Revolution. They then then went on to Cambodia to assist the auto genocide of the killing of the Cambodians themselves without any apologies. And then they go forth in Tiananmen Square to suppress their own people. And now they have the Jasmine revolutions. That means the young people who want to protest, the truck drivers, the cab drivers. And I say to our Chinese friends and our Chinese colleagues, the citizens of China, who are consuming our products, go on Sina, S-I-N-A, and Twitter your disappointments. Go into the streets and refuse to accept this. And then I say to our American colleagues, go Twitter and tell your congressmen and senators to stop this egregious, egregious anti-American behavior and to stop funding Chinese propaganda.
Well, it shows just how insane.
I'm sorry.
No, it just shows how insane this White House is, running GM and then using our tax money to finance something worshiping Mao Zedong. We have all these restaurants opening called Mao's. The college kids are wearing Mao shirts. These could not be bigger, useful idiots. Mao Zedong, the Chinese government even admits, did not bathe, had sex with about 6 women a day, was a degenerate piece of arrogant filth. And this murdering blob of pus is being worshipped with our tax money. It just shows how completely reprobate the federal government has become. They are a pack of criminals worshipping another criminal.
That's correct. I think this is really criminal activity, considering that this man, Ackerson, and particularly Cadillac division of GM and GM, is assisting and abetting a entity, the Chinese Communist Party, not the Chinese people, the Chinese Communist Party, that initiated a war and killed and assisted in killing thousands of our troops in war throughout, and then through Vietnam War, and then through the war in Indonesia and in Cambodia. And this has not stopped, and they're killing their own people. So it is reprehensible. But once again, we're going back to the fact that we have civilian leaders who are in cahoots with your big politicians. Politicians didn't stop this. This had to come out of the Washington Times. Not one Republican stood up. Not one Democrat stood up. Not Mike Levin, a senator from Michigan, to say cease and desist. There is absolutely no political consciousness in our country or sense of patriotism where there's a sense of what's appropriate and not appropriate. This is totally, completely inappropriate. And borders on treason.
Well, they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it on purpose to set the precedent, just like TSA groping one-year-old, children and grabbing their genitals in front of their parents. Then get away with that. The sky's the limit. Now, I want to just go through these host of issues that you've raised. Now we've had another week in the aftermath. We've had a U.S. helicopter go into Pakistan, a shootout. General Hamid Ghul said there's no doubt now that there's a move towards starting some new war with them. Ron Paul has come out today and said the scuttlebutt is there is moves to in Congress and discussions about some type of occupation of Pakistan. It's now come out in the big Pakistani papers that reported CIA agent was trying to get uranium and other weapons to Al-Qaeda groups they control to frame Pakistan. And General Ghul said, look, we don't want to be driven into the arms of the Russians or the Chinese, but that's what this is doing. And during the break, when I first got you on, you said there's no doubt now that that's what this raid is about internationally. Dr. Pachinik, I mean, you worked over there. You met bin Laden. You worked in overthrowing the Russians, driving them out. What's your view on what's happening now that we have more hindsight?
Let me say what I said a week ago and all. I go back to, and I go to the singular individual. I go to the respect of the Secretary of Defense, Gates, who said it very clearly today. We have embarrassed the Pakistani military. It's enough. And we should go on. The issue that happened with Pakistan and the actual raid, we're not talking about Osama bin Laden. I told you he's been dead for 10 years. But the raid was a psyops operation to basically embarrass the ISI into basically getting out of the business of controlling the government of Pakistan, whose president is Gilani. Gilani and the civil government in Pakistan cannot handle the Inner Service Intelligence Agency. Yesterday and the day before, the head of ISI resigned and saying, I can no longer function. What I think this raid is about, I was not told, was, and I think Gates has said it very clearly, that we have embarrassed the Pakistani ISI, that basically basically they want a civilian government in Pakistan. China has moved in effect, to help the Pakistani, but I do not believe, again, I will reiterate, I do not believe we will occupy Pakistan. We do not have the capability. We don't have the desire. And once again, Gates reported, and correctly so, and we've known this for a long time in the national security arena, we cannot fight 2.5 wars anymore. Our force structure in America was geared for 2.5 wars. That is, one war in the Atlantic, one war on the Pacific, and then a half a war somewhere wherever we need it. We cannot do that anymore because of budget constraints. And we go back to the key issue, Alex, as you said repeatedly, our biggest national security problem is not Osama bin Laden, who's been dead, or Al-Qaeda, which is a Haqqani group. It's really that our debt and our ceiling and the fact that we are financially in serious trouble. There isn't one general or one intelligence officer that will disagree with what I'm about to say, that our debt and our financial crisis is really the national security problem. The issue in Pakistan was that the ISI Pakistani did not want to control the Haqqani group, that's H-A-Q-Q-A-N-I, who basically have created Al-Qaeda representatives in Afghanistan and have been using their surrogates and members of the Haqqani group to really incite a confrontation, not only with American troops in Afghanistan, which the Americans said cease and desist, but with India. It's the issue.
All right, stay there. Stay there, Dr. Pachinik. I want to come back with a host of other issues straight ahead. Dr. Steve Pachinik is our guest. We're covering the waterfront today. I wanted to, in this short segment, Doctor, and we'll get into a bunch of other issues, look at Obama's speech that he just finished up about an hour ago. For those that just joined us, the president came out and, well, here's the headline. Palestinian state must be based on 1967 borders. That's just more talk. And they put it into the process, status quo. But he went on to say these revolutions are great, these revolutions are wonderful, and named Libya, where we know it's Western-backed, and the core group in there is Al-Qaeda, and we have former Al-Qaeda leaders on record who were fighting U.S. troops in Iraq. Regardless of what you think of these wars, this is a schizophrenic policy that they're engaged in. You know, we're fighting Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, but this is good Al-Qaeda over here. But meanwhile, right on time, Osama bin Laden speaks from the grave. Another audio tape from the cache they found, over a million documents, where they can just make up and project whatever they want, Dr. Pachinik. And he agrees that these uprisings are great. What is the whole point of this, obviously, latest new fake tape being put out?
Well, the new fake tape is, once again, the issue, as I said, Osama bin Laden has been dead for 10 years. So basically what I think their point is, as the raid was, or whatever the raid was constituted, was to basically say to those Al-Qaeda members around the world, of those who still fear the United States or might fear the United States, that there is information in here that we can pursue you, we know where you are, and at the same time it's intended to embarrass the Pakistani ISI, Inner Service Intelligence Agency, to say, you know, this is where the man lived. He lived right near your military institute, and how come you didn't do anything about it? It's a way of our pulling out of Pakistan, not to create a war. We don't need a war now. We can't fight a war. And literally try to transfer the power into the civilian area. But what you said about Obama is that he is not in control of the foreign policy, nor would you expect him to be in control. Many of his members of the national security are civilians who had very little experience. Donlan, as I said before, is a lobbyist for Fannie Mae. That's your national security advisor. And the one he relies on is a guy named Dennis Ross, who worked for me 20, 30 years ago. Totally ineffectual individual who worked for both Republicans and Democrats, has no history of any accomplishments other than self-aggrandizement and the ability to egregiously get himself into situations where more talented people than himself, like Danny Kurtzer and others who worked for Bush, and other Aaron Miller and others, people I know, are far more talented than he is. So you have very incompetent, exceedingly incompetent individuals, including Hillary Clinton, who really has no idea what the national security issues are, nor the strategy. The fact that the young kids are protesting is not an issue that was initiated by the United States. Tunisia was spontaneous. Egypt was assisted by the U.S. government, but we had military-to-military contact. So I do congratulate our military on that, particularly our army, where they did maintain control over the Egyptian riots and were able to maintain a stabilized situation. But in fact, what remains in Egypt and in Libya and elsewhere is really military force structures. In other words, whatever is related to our military. The real issue for us in right now is Syria is toppling over. Syria has never been a real ally of us. Bashar Assad is a physician. He's an ophthalmologist. I was interrogated by Syrian officials a couple of years ago for 5-6 hours.
No, I saw in major news reports that even previous to that, don't you know, was it the senior or the junior Assad?
The senior, I knew the senior Assad, whom I had worked against repeatedly over 20, 30 years. He was a vicious, exceedingly dangerous man who had created a lot of terrorist episodes, and every time we came close to a peace treaty in the Middle East, he could create incidences where people were just killed, and he initiated wars against Israel, and basically was a real evil man. He killed 10 to 20,000 so-called Muslims in Hama, and he had no qualms about it. Now, his son is very ineffectual. The people who are protesting, I encourage them. They're in Aleppo, Hama, Homs, Latakia. These are wonderful people. 30% of Syria country, where most people don't realize, are Christians. The rest are Sunni, Shiite, Druze. The northern part of Syria is Kurds. The Kurds are now separating from Iraq, which I agree with. The Kurds are separating from Syria, which I agree with. And so Bashar Assad either has to go. He must go. And I do agree with the administration putting on an embargo on it, but we should pull our ambassador out, and our military will not be engaged in this. This is an issue that Bashar Assad has to deal internally.
All right, stay there, Doc. We got to go to break. We're going to come back and continue looking at geopolitical issues. Then you want to talk about Schwarzenegger.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Pachinik will be with us at least 30 minutes into the next hour. We have a whole cornucopia of issues I want to get into. Don't forget, listeners, that we've got Jesse Ventura's new New York Times best-selling. It's number 4. 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, along with the excellent new book, Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. Both of these discounted. When you get them, you can get one of my documentary films on DVD of your choice absolutely free at Infowars.com. Also, we have a new film that we're carrying called The American Dream. It's a super high-quality animated documentary about the history of the private banking cartel, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the whole system. Excellent documentary, The American Dream, Fighting the Lying Liars, One Stupid Lie at a Time. Excellent new film that we're carrying, available at Infowars.com. Continuing here with our sponsors, eFoodsDirect.com. They have a current special, buy three, get any fourth item food pack free. Get prepared. Tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, man-made disasters, economic collapse, war, even unemployment are all possible and could happen at any time. And I believe in storable food, firearms, you name it. Disasters come in many shapes and sizes, but the one constant is they happen suddenly without warning. This is super high quality, all produced in America food. And for a limited time, you can buy three of any of their packs and get a fourth free. For Alex Jones listeners, you want to go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or give them a call at 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. 888-3-GROW-333. Okay, going back to Dr. Steve Pachinik and moving quickly with him. Doc, let me just get this out of the way right now, because we really know your information on Bin Laden is accurate. Your whole history and all the black ops and overthrow of tyrants and assassinations. The more I learn about you, you are not telling people actually all of your considerable exploits. It's actually the opposite. So you're more than meets the eye. You're more than what you even say you are. So we know why you're the model for the Tom Clancy character, Jack Ryan. But I've had people I also respect on, like Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, people like Joel Skousen, and they're intrigued by what you say, and they have no doubt about your overall info. Some of their questions mirror what listeners have said, especially Skousen's, and that is, how can you say the government is evil and stage 9/11, and the evidence is legion, or how can you sit there and then talk about them staging this new raid and say that that's when it's gone bad, when, who you work for, Henry Kissinger, George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean, these are people, you mentioned China earlier. They were involved opening up China. And folks can argue, well, that's opening them up so then they can be changed into a free market system. I mean, I understand all the arguments. I don't want to put words in your mouth, basically it's the statement of you come from that power structure, from this secret system. And are you saying that things just went bad in 2001? Or why are you going public? Or what is the point of this? I mean, I think I'm encapsulating their question.
Yeah, I understand. People are wondering who I am, what I am. Who I am is not as important, although you've said it. I'm not interested in self-aggrandizement. If they want to read my books, they're more than happy to. I'm really not interested in going to TV or anything else. The reason I went on your show, and I kept saying it, is I lived in a world which was a gray zone, and because of my loyalty to my country, remember, to the country, and one of the statements that I make a point of is, my country, right or wrong, I will still defend my country and my Constitution. I do not care who is in the office of the presidency. I care about the office of the presidency and the Constitution, and those men and women who fight for it. So if I worked for Henry Kissinger, I was more than happy the next day to protest the war in Vietnam on the streets. If I worked for Senior Bush, I was more than happy to protest what he said. Only in America, and this is what your public has to understand, only in America can one work for a system and at the same time criticize the system. I can't tell you how important that is. This is not all or nothing. Every country throughout history has had to hide behind a bodyguard of lies. That's the nature of national security. But when those bodyguard of lies are inflicted upon the public, that is a 9/11 or an LBJ pulling the Gulf of Tonkin, or stand down under the Kennedys, the Kennedys going into a war all over the world. Then it's the point where guys like me, who are American citizens, it doesn't matter what my background is, that's an issue for people to say, well, is he credible or not? Is he a member of the CFR? Yeah, I'm a member of the CFR. I'm also a member of the Association of Former Intelligence Officers and National Military. And what I'm trying to say is, in our government, there are so many people who are both in the intelligence community and the military community who feel like I do. They are American citizens. You have men and women who are fighting all over the world for reasons they may not understand and they don't agree with, but still they serve our country. The people who do not serve our country are the people who are in the process business, which you've been talking about, and that's the bankers, the lawyers, the people who feel that process is more important than product, and that defending our country is more important, that not defending our country and not going into our country to serve it is more important than their self-aggrandizement.
Basically, what you're saying is... So, you've been an insider.
Let me say something. I come out as an American citizen who says, I follow the Constitution and I defend the Constitution with my life. I serve my country, right or wrong, I still serve it. But I'm not afraid to die. I've been sent into missions abroad many, many times where I've offered and volunteered. But at the same time, I have never been afraid to tell the Jimmy Carter, get the hell out of my crisis center. I have told other presidents to get out of the way because I've got 500 hostages, and they've done it. And I'm not afraid to put myself on the line if I have to save lives. And if that means I've got to save what I think is the American democracy public, I'm not that grandiose. I'm not a Newt Gingrich or any one of these sociopaths. I'm willing to say it's enough. But at the same time, I do not throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have intelligence operatives and we have intelligence generals who are incredible. They have four or five master's degrees. They have PhDs. These are men who've been in combat, who've served our country and are watching the civilians spoiling our country. And those are the men and women I address. I address our citizens who have two jobs and three jobs, or Alex Jones, who comes out on his own and repeatedly is willing to be attacked and be called a conspirator or paranoid. I mean, all the adjectives that I receive, I don't care about that. What I care about is to say, yeah, I'm a member of all these things. I don't necessarily attend them. I'm also a member of the Red Carpet Lounge at United, but it doesn't mean I always go there. But what I will not tolerate is when the American government, the government per se, will attack its own people, will denigrate our capabilities in terms of our ability to be productive and to be able to make a living because we're entrepreneurs and because we don't want to be controlled by the government.
Well let me add a point here. Let me add a point here, because, I mean, regardless, you were right about the bin Laden already being dead after you came on my show.
I've been right about many things. It's not an issue whether I'm right or wrong. The real issue, Alex, is what is the American public going to do? I've been right about 9/11. I was right it was a stand down and a false flag. I teach at the War College every year teaching that. I was right about anybody you want to say. It's not about being right. When a physician tells you you've got cancer, believe me, I don't want to be right. The question is, what do you want to do? And the answer is, if you do nothing and we go over the same thing, and I repeat, listen, we've got cancer in this country. It is a disaster. We have to clean it out. This president is not qualified to be in charge, but we don't need a revolution actively. You've got to have a system that's changed, because you're going to have that president again. I don't care what you say and do. And the next one, in turn, will be a Republican, because the system is fixed as long as you have Electoral College. Being right is not what I'm interested in. It's what is the American public going to do and stand up for their rights. If they decide they don't want to stand up for their rights, they decide they don't want to put anybody in prison for 9/11, that's their decision, not mine.
Well, I admire your courage coming out 9-plus years ago saying 9/11 was an inside job and going over evidence, and you know, now saying you're willing to talk to a grand jury. And how do we ever expect people from the power structure to do the right thing and have the courage you have if, when they come out, we say, well, they're from the system? And that's not what Roberts was saying, just to some callers and, you know, to a certain extent, Scouse. And I understand his question. Roberts was just saying, well, why doesn't he go ahead basically and tell us who this general is? Because, you know, then he'll be a lot safer. And they won't come killing. But then you've added that you've got mutually assured destruction. You've got stuff on them waiting to be released if something happens to you.
I'm not worried about it. Let's forget who Pachenik is. As you said, I'm not interested in who I am or what I am. Now, this is not an issue of that. This is an issue. Does the American public understand that this is going on? If I can tell you Osama bin Laden has been dead for 10 years and no one in the national security area refuted that statement. Nobody. If I can tell you it's a stand down, 9/11, not one person said in the national security area that that was wrong. The issue isn't about Steve Pachenik and whether I'm afraid of my life. The issue is, what do you expect from your politicians who are egregiously spending our money, wasting our money, who really are sitting there basically in a collusive relationship? The word is collusion, my dear friend. That is, they help each other. Nothing has changed in our democracy. We do not have a democracy. We have a republic. And the issue, does the American public want to stand for a democracy and have a third party and demand that their money not go to the GMs who are sponsoring Chinese propaganda, not going to presidents who have to fly all around the country, the world, do nothing, not to sponsor presidents who are spending $1 billion, but to really address the issues of the working class, teachers who make very low salaries, doctors who have no jobs and reimbursement, so on and so forth? It is not my burden now, my friend. I come on the show and I'm willing to sacrifice my life. That's not the issue. The issue isn't even Alex Jones. The issue is the American public. At which point are they disgusted?
No, I agree with you.
They create a nonsensical Tea Party where Sarah Palin stands up, or some other bozo, and in a song and dance routine where they co-opt all kinds of issues that are not relevant to the American public, and we have two parties that intermingle. There's nothing there. So the America has to decide, are we going into a peaceful second revolution where we're addressing less federal government, we're addressing local issues of transportation, jobs. We have no jobs. Where does the American public want to talk about the unemployment, which may be up to 18 million people, when the American press could care less about it? They want to sell papers. The TV want to sell papers. What we have to worry about is, where is the jobs, my friend? Where is our productivity? Stop whining about the bankers. The bankers have to go to jail. Not one banker went to jail. So instead of the American public continuously being in a rut of saying, you know, why this and why that, let's go back to the original American spirit where we went in with an entrepreneurial desire. We created new jobs. We created new industries. We went forth irrespective of what our government said.
Now, I hear you. Doc,
don't have to. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And the fact is, it overall does become a distraction from the Bin Laden fable and from the 9/11 false flag.
That's what they want you to do. They want you to be distracted from the key issues. I mean, the issue of, you know, we have really important issues. Our economy, as you said, is going downhill. We're turning around just slightly now. China has been in an economic war with the United States. Does people understand what that means? That means that China has basically been in Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, undercutting everything we've done, every other country has done, and what are we going to do?
And we have traitors inside the government that have been bought off by these foreign lobbyists, the Chinese in particular, selling us out. And I want to speak to that later, but now I want to shift gears into some of the other topics you brought up.
Dominique
Strauss-Kahn, how does that integrate in with these private intelligence networks and Schwarzenegger? You talked about the fact that for decades, and now it's coming out that he has multiple love children. I know Hollywood folks that told me this years ago and said he's got one with his maid. Boom. Years later, they were right.
And Schwarzenegger in and of himself is not as important as the PSYOPs narrative of the politician who's married to the so-called victim, Maria Shriver. That collusive element, let's use the word again, collusion, that means people working together, is true for the Clintons, it was true for the Kennedys. It's a storyline that goes throughout our entire politics, whether Republican or Democrat, where the issue of family values comes in and a new narrative is created. So the American public, whether Republican on the right or the left, buys into this garbage, this absolute nonsense. Schwarzenegger, you know, I don't know the gentleman. I worked in Hollywood. I had heard that he's abusive, whether he's physically abusive or emotionally abusive. That's for reporters to decide. Whether he was on the list of one of the biggest clients for Heidi Fleiss, who ran a prostitution house, and you see many of her prostitutes in a famous film that Columbia releases.
The point is they use this for blackmail. Everybody knew. Why are they bringing it now? Continue.
I have no. They brought it now because I think there was a tipping point. I have no idea. He could never get reelected. He's going back into the movie business. He's a very shrewd businessman. You have to admire his business. But this Maria Shriver notion that a wife of a politician did not know that her husband has been fornicating for the past 20 to 30 years is absolute nonsense. And she is coming out of the Kennedy family where you have a genetic history of this fornication. So this is not a victim. This is not a poor woman. You're talking about a sadomasochistic relationship that serves her narrative. She wanted to be on the TV show. She wants her own presence, as the way Hillary Clinton did in an abusive relationship with Mr. Clinton, who, by the way, why do you think Hillary never became president in running with Obama? the real issue wasn't Hillary was either better or worse than Obama. Nobody knew who Obama was. The key question at the time of her running was this question that was posed to me by a Democrat. And the question was, can Hillary win the election if everybody knows that Bill Clinton was still screwing around in California? And my answer was categorically no. So you have it on both sides. You have a man, a woman who's compromised by a man, Schwarzenegger, and you have a woman who's talented in her own ways, Hillary Clinton, and compromised by Bill Clinton, whose narcissism and ego is very equivalent to Schwarzenegger. So what you have is a dynamic of narcissism, entitlement, and the ability to be abusive in both relationships.
Doc, stay there.
American public, let me get this straight. The key is that we're paying for this unnecessarily. We're paying a lot of money to cover up for their staffs, for the nonsense, for the spinning. And the American public is sick and tired of this. And all we want to do is get our money back, get some candidate who has nothing to do with the issue of sex.
Stay there, Doc. We got a break. But there's also the psyop that the media would keep it secret all these years. The issue is, if I was contacted by multiple famous bodybuilders whenever I put out a film, part of a film exposing Schwarzenegger, talking about, hey, he's got a son with the maid, he's got another kid with this lady, here's her name, she's a blonde, now you see it in the news, I was told it by Hollywood people, none of this is even a secret. The women visiting Schwarzenegger every day. But the system allows that, so then Schwarzenegger is compromised. And now we have Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who I'm not a fan of. He's a big globalist, really the elite leader of the Socialist Party in France. But come on. First it's rape. Now it's attempted rape. The cops are basically saying he's guilty up front, which is always a bad sign. Now we learn that the chief spin doctor for Sarkozy, who Strauss-Kahn in the polls was set to beat for president next year, tweets out, kind of jumps the gun that, oh, he's been arrested for raping this woman. And then they had another campaign official do it. And then they said, well, we had an operative at the hotel. Oh, so now they admit they're following him. I don't know. The whole thing's very suspicious. But finishing up with the media, playing along with this, covering up for Schwarzenegger. And what's going on with Strauss-Kahn? What's your take on all this, Dr. Pachinik?
Well, I'm not a great fan of Strauss-Kahn. Number one, I grew up in France, and I came to America because this is a country of opportunity. France is not a country of opportunity, and quite frankly, France is not relevant to American national security interests. It's just not relevant. I think whether it's a setup or not, I think it's pathetic. Strauss was always a pathetic figure. He's always been compromised before. But, you know, in the world of intelligence, if you have an addiction, and particularly it's a honey trap that is women are easy to bait you in, then, you know, he deserves what he gets. But it's not really relevant to what we are talking about here in the United States. The difference with France is they're used to this. They got upset by the way we handled him in the police station, that we should have hidden him, which is nonsense. France is really not relevant. It's a country that saw its past 300 years ago, and we should just leave it alone and visit it just because it's basically a museum. It has no real viability for the United States. Let's get back to the United States, which is really the most important country that we're talking about. And why this Schwarzenegger issue is important, not because of Schwarzenegger himself, although the story was there. We do have to give credit to some of the reporters, a woman reporter in the L.A. Times, who tried to bring up this issue that he was groped and repeatedly was harassing women. But unfortunately, the major media comes in and people, like it's a circus, really want to hear the best that they want to hear about a man who talks about family values, has the money, and the ability to intimidate. That's the key issue. When it comes to power, and you have people like the Clintons or the Schwarzeneggers or the Kennedys or anybody else, it's about power and intimidation. So the women can't come out, the media gets intimidated, and in turn they try to basically build an alliance or a collusion with them. Very few reporters really try to break out, and when they do, they're co-opted. You can't say all the reporters were co-opted, but most of the people co-opted. And really, we go back to the American public. If you want bread and circus, you've got it. And basically, Schwarzenegger is a theater brilliant genius at being able to create a psyops. And he created the ultimate psyops, that he had a family, and he was a good family man, and so forth and so on. And so, once again, that psyops that's done domestically is costing us. Why is this important? It's not important.
It shows a culture of lies and people being fed lies.
That's correct. But at the same time, let's follow the money, Alex. This is costing the American public a lot of money, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to the Board of Staff. And particular California, there's a $26 billion deficit. Jerry Brown has to go back in there, whether you like him or not.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute, Doc. Back in 1 minute. Going into Overdrive Live. Stay with us. We're live into hour number four. It's your chance to ask any questions of Dr. Chief Pechenik. Dr. Pechenik's happy to answer any of your questions. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We've been covering a wide spectrum of ideas and information. I was talking to a doc during the break, and I said, you know, what else do you want to get into? And he said, well, you know, Europe's going under. Their currencies are imploding. We've got to talk about basically what we face economically and the fact that we need to point out who the big private bankers are who have got us into this situation, and they need to be punished criminally. They've committed crimes publicly. Even Rolling Stone had a big article that the Senate committee has found it was criminal, so start the indictments. Where are the indictments? Because if they get away with this, they can get away with even more. I think what you're talking about earlier with this criminal class is we're having to finance this political inside crony capitalist class at the expense of all our liberties and our freedom, and that America is on a razor's edge, and that's why you as an insider are you know, coming out.
Well, let me put it this way. I'm not coming out. I've always been out.
No, I know.
In terms of truth. And I've been more than happy to take down institutions, whether they're civilian, foreign. That's not an issue for me. That's my professional expertise, and I've done it in many organizations, restructured them. I save lives, and I work on changing lives. The real issue for us is to understand we do have criminals. These are the heads of Citigroup, where they receive incredible amounts of money. The names are blank fine. Who's the CEO of Goldman Sachs. You have Rubin, who was a consultant while the subprime came in and was our former Secretary of Treasury and received $75 million as he was a consultant to Citigroup while the subprime came in. And when he was asked what in fact happened, he said, I don't know. I wasn't involved. I mean, what nonsense. And we have a brilliant banking committee that did a brilliant job of writing up what happened. I mean, the SEC went in there, investigated financial committee led by Peter Angelides wrote a brilliant book, The Financial Crisis, in the inquiry report, and so did the Senate. And I think it's time for the American public to demand indictments. It's not as if we don't know where the crooks are. They're in Citigroup, they're in Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan. You have them in Wells Fargo. You have them in the mortgage companies. They're all listed here in the federal documents. The answer now is for your public to stop whining, stop complaining, and stop seeing conspiracies and worrying about whether Steve Pechenik is going to get killed or not, because it's hard to spell his last name. Good God. I mean, I've had Noriega chase me, and he can't even spell it correctly every week. So the issue really to worry about is how do you get these people indicted so the future understands you cannot commit criminal acts, financial acts against the American public, no matter what your name is, and particularly if your name is Goldman Sachs. And this can't continue. So that's where the American public has to start. It has to say, give me back my money. Whether it's GM and you have a man who's supporting the communist propaganda machinery, or whether it's Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, and Wells Fargo, and other banks that have outrightly corrupted and admitted that they committed criminal acts, yet nobody has put them in prison because your politicians, the head of your Senate Finance Committee, the subcommittees on finance are all funded by these guys. So unless the American public demands through Twitter protest peacefully demands they be investigated and indicted. This will not happen. Now, let me tell you one thing. It is clear in the financial crisis report that the real heroes of a lot of this institution are the attorney generals of the different states, all of whom came in and said these federal rules and regulations are totally inappropriate to have national banks coming into state governments and created subprime mortgages.
Stay there.
And a lot of the attorney generals of the different states should be awarded for the fact that they stood up, including the Manhattan attorney general. Now you have Cyrus Vance Jr. as an attorney general in Manhattan. These people should be applauded for going after these criminals.
All right, stay there, Doc. Got a break. Very great points. We'll be right back after the break.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I was just talking to Dr. Steve Pachinik about how we get this country back, states' rights, nullification. He was bringing up all these attorney generals trying to go after Obama with the carbon tax moves, trying to block that, going after Goldman Sachs and others for their criminal activities. I mean, trillions have been stolen, and the precedent cannot be allowed to stand that they're going to get away with this. Dr. Pachinik, finish up with that point, and we're going to go to some phone calls.
I think Cornel West, who's a professor at Princeton, an African-American, said it best, that Obama is a black man representing the plutocracy and the money interests of Wall Street. And this is unacceptable. And he has to be held accountable. The guys on Wall Street have to go to prison. This is not a whether, if or not. And I congratulate the attorney generals and the FBI and the various federal organizations that are cutting into this issue, the SEC, the new one, the Office of Controller, and other people who will go in and regulate them, but they have to go to prison. Department of Justice is now has to get involved, as does the FBI. So I have great faith in the ability for us to hold people accountable. Let's go to the phones if you want.
Any other points on ideas to expose this kleptocracy, this banking kleptocracy?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, let's talk about AIG. What AIG was for, selling insurance all over the world. In many ways, it was a cover for the CIA and operatives. And really, what does it do? It reinsures those people who have to have insurance or create financial instruments that don't exist. So you had this whole Ponzi scheme that's still in existence where men like Geithner and Bernanke and others who really have never been in the world of real business. They've all been, quote, policy thinkers, which is something else we have to get rid of because these are the welfare clients of the United States, these so-called think tanks in Washington. There's nothing more than an elaborate welfare system for people who have no jobs. And basically, we start to have to go back to the devolution of federal power and getting back down to the state level and the county level where we can start initiating tax-free zones, where we can start businesses and getting the American worker back in there, the mechanic, the truck driver who doesn't have to pay $5 a gallon in diesel, the librarian who can make a living, the teachers who make more than $23,000 versus the $68 million that a banker makes for nothing else than just processing paper, and the Wall Street Journal of newspapers say that he's indispensable, which is absurd. So the American public has to hold these people accountable, and once we do, we can go forward. But in the meantime, I think America will be turning around because China's in trouble right now. Their interest rates are going up. The middle class is going up. Again, using Sina and Twitter, I think the Chinese public will attack the Chinese government. And I think the Chinese government has a very serious problem, and I've said it repeatedly, of trying to suppress 1.3 billion Chinese, and they have a serious water problem right now. They have a serious drought problem. And their money, unlike our own system, is based on social stability, where our system of capitalism is based on profit. The Chinese system is based on social stability, which means if they don't keep out loaning money that is the Communist Party, they will have unrest, the likes of which they've never seen. And let me give you an idea. In a typical normal year under the Communist Party in China right now, a year ago, they had 75,000 riots for corruption. That's a normal year. Now you take a year like now where you have increased interest rates, unemployment, where students are exceedingly smart in China and very well educated, more so than in many cases our own students, where they speak several languages, and there are no jobs for them. So the Chinese government has to be put on alert saying, you're in trouble. You're in major trouble. If you want to expand to Pakistan, you want to expand all over the world, you've got bigger problems internally than anybody else has. And now it's our turn to remain a superpower by getting our forces out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Middle East, and start to work on redeploying our assets and our dollars transferred to civilian works, major structures for employment, not to get the banks out of trouble, but employment, real jobs, real people, and get the normal salaries that they deserve. And
all right, let's go to phone calls. Good points there. Bill in Connecticut, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, hi, Alex. Hi, Dr. Pachanik.
Hi.
I have two points. First is, I don't know how we'll be able to resolve the financial mess when, as you said, we have this collusion between the politicians and the banks and even AIG. So you have the Federal Reserve giving money to both AIG and Goldman Sachs. And AIG was actually insuring Goldman Sachs' debts.
Yeah, no, AIG was the holding company to then break the money up on one hand, and then on the other hand, they were giving money directly. And then, of course, the Federal Reserve is just a holding company for Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and a handful of others. And so it's just all one big mafia up there.
Well, I think what the gentleman's getting to, and I agree with you, is the only way I can see it is that we have to hold them. The report says it very clearly, even their own federal report, that we do have to put some people in prison, not the Bernie Madoffs only, and not the guys who are insider trading. That's a distraction. You're talking about the president, CEOs of AIG. You're talking about the president, CEOs of Goldman Sachs, of J.P. Morgan. Once they're in prison, they're going to understand that this is not just a game where you can fool the public, and then you're going to have to put some of the your congressmen and senators like Dodd, Barney Frank held accountable, Max Baucus, all of these men who've been funded by AIG, J.P. Morgan, and they think this is all so cute because they can be in bed with them. That's not going to occur unless the American public insists. Let's hold them accountable.
No, I agree. We need to start beating the drums. I mean, even Rolling Stone said, Senate committee proves it's criminal, send them to prison. It's time for hundreds of these prominent bankers and some of these members of Congress to be clapped in irons, taken in, given a jury trial, and sent to prison. And I'm not talking about country clubs. And that will teach these criminals. Folks, if you don't keep corruption under control, you will fall apart like North Korea or Mexico. And they're trying to win and set the precedent to then get away with this and use a police state against us. It is us or them. Send them to prison. Bill, thank you so much. Rand?
Let me say something. Nothing is more humiliating to Wall Street than to see Blank Fine or the heads of AIG and other people in Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, literally arrested during the daytime by the FBI. They know how to do it. And trounced right out there in handcuffs, sent to prison. And let me tell you, that is an effective deterrent to everybody, including if you go into the Senate, you go into Congress, and you look at Barney Franks and Christopher Dodd and Max Baucus, and you look at all the ones in the Financial Senate Committee, both on the Republican and Democrat, put handcuffs on them, send them right through the daytime, and show them on TV, and believe me, this will shut down this collusion. It works very effectively. Yeah. It's a counter psyops, but it works.
Rand in New York, you're on the air with Dr. Pachinik.
You know, the American public has been dumbed down. I mean, we're dumber than a bag of concrete at this point. They've got an efficient propaganda arm called mass media. I mean, it's like, right, I mean, Bin Laden's been dumped in the ocean. What next? He washes up on Gilligan's Island? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, what are we going to be believing next? How are we going to fight this, you know, when they've got everybody so dumbed down and such, you know, I mean, the propaganda that they've got is just...
Well, Rand, let me say something, though, and I want you to continue, but look, I mean, let's get real here. there's a process of awakening. People that want to be dumb are spectators. They're not on the field. We've got 100-to-1 people on the field against these folks. And so, yes, there are some dumbed down people, but there's a big awakening happening. Congress has a 9% approval rating. Mainstream media has about a 12. And so everybody isn't buying it. It's just that we don't know we're the majority because we still buy that final psyop that we're alone because we're not arrogant, and that actually plays against us because we are so humble. The truth is, let me tell you something I told you yesterday. Okay, just as a bellwether, I am known. My face is known from YouTube, the internet, radio show, newspapers and stuff, okay? 5 years ago, I'd get off a plane in New York, walk down a street for 30 minutes, five people come over to me. Now I get off a plane in New York and walk, I can't go 10 feet. I can't eat in restaurants. I can go to L.A., Austin, anywhere. I can walk in a bar to pick up food to take home. Almost everyone leaves the pool tables, whatever, comes over to me. Now I'm not going, ooh, look, Alex Jones is well known. The point is that you have no idea how powerful the liberty movement is. Don't underestimate. Dr. Pechenik, any comments?
I totally agree with Alex Jones. I've always been a great supporter of his. I don't care what my title is, conspiracist, truist, it doesn't really matter. But I want you to understand, and I want all of your listeners to understand, the American Revolution was not started by a majority of the people in the United States. It was started by a few. I don't have to go over the
narrative. 3%, 3%.
Alex Jones have been remaining in there, and the Thomas Jeffersons, the Madisons, the John Adams. This is just a continuation of what our founding fathers said. No matter what the mainstream media is, no, the American public is not dumbed down. They are tired. There's a lot of information. They're overwhelmed, and they will say it. But there are no, we are not dumb rummies. The American public is not a dumb rummy. Every politician is going to learn that at the expense of his or her career and possibly life. But the point of fact is, you have a lot of people in the government, in both the civilian and military government, who agree with what Alex Jones is saying and what he's doing. And so do I. I'm not coming out of the closet. I've always been somebody who's told people exactly what they think. I've thrown the President of the United States out of the
room. No, Doc, I agree with you. We got to go to break. We got to go to break.
Just a minute. Americans like that.
But just to be clear, Doc, I wasn't saying, oh, look, I'm big. I want to be clear. The average person
you're fighting for it, and people believe in you, as I do.
Well, I mean, more than that. People don't know what Steve Pechenik looks like. They don't know what Johnny Sixpack looks like. Because I am public, I get an idea of how many people are awake and angry. That's what I'm saying. Most people aren't in that position to really get the real gauge. And I'm telling you, folks, it is. After, we're going to premiere here on air Obama bombshell birth certificate, a forgery. We have gone over it. It's undoubtedly a forgery, and we break that down. Dr. Corsi is coming out. He's always very careful. They've done an analysis. He's going to release it tomorrow. It is fake. And that's another question for Dr. Pechenik. Why would they put out such a shoddy fake? Well, Dr. Corsi thinks that, and we're going to go to more of your calls here in a minute. We're keeping until 40 after so we can get to all of them that are currently on the board. He thinks that they couldn't go to an agency because people might leak it or blow the whistle, so they had to have somebody in the camp do it. But you can see where it's low res and then it's high res where they've changed things. The typewriter font is generated by a computer. It's called Caring. That's confirmed just across the board. And also, you can tell that it's a computer because you have typewriter typing where you blow it up, and it's the exact same letter, even down to the pixel. Now, understand, like a snowflake or a fingerprint, every typewriter strike is unique because the way it hits the ribbon, the way it slams down around the edges, creates the microscopic fingerprint of that unique strike, depending on how hard you pushed and how it struck and how the paper was loaded. The thing is a stinking fake. Dr. Pechenik, we're going to finish up with the awakening that's happening, the positive news we talked about during the break, and then finish up with Chris, Michael, Mark, Bob, and Brett. We got to get to those callers, and we're so honored to have you. StevePechenik.com is the great site. Folks can find out more about all your work there, or so much of your work there. But I know you probably haven't fully looked into this, or you may have. You may not want to speak to it, but we've looked at it. Corsi's looked at it. There's no doubt it's fake. Why would they put out such a ridiculous fake? Do they want to make this a diversionary issue, or are they that shoddy? Or do you think it's real?
I don't think the birth certificate, I think it's a total distraction. Let's go back to a statement that I made about a week ago when I said, if my mother had been a major CIA operative in the 1960s, a single white female going into a Muslim country like Indonesia who had a PhD in the very sophisticated subjects of anthropology, sociology, or teaching, and taught English and was trained at the East-West Center in Hawaii, which, by the way, was under my jurisdiction as Deputy Assistant Secretary of East Asia. And I know we used that legitimately as a front for the CIA, and she probably was on a contract to the CIA, was a CIA officer. Then the question is really not even relevant about birth certificate. The question is, why doesn't Obama accept the fact that his mother was a CIA operative, his grandmother had worked in the banking system of Hawaii, was also in a CIA operation, and why is it that the CIA has a narrative that doesn't really make sense? It's again that old story.
So that's why they're covering up, is to cover up the intelligence agency family, and there's even more than just those involved, as Wayne Matz and others have documented. Why are they covering that up? So there's definitely a cover up, but you're right. If he's born out of the country in a CIA, then you know still he's an American citizen.
Yeah, I mean, whether he's American or not is not the issue. The issue is, why is the intelligence narrative so distractive, and why was it imposed again on the American public in a way that very few people really knew who Obama was, other than Chicago and that he came out of nowhere, which wasn't exactly true. There's a CIA narrative that goes way back from 1960s. It comes now, and once again, as I said, the intelligence narrative is not good, as it was not good in 9/11, and it was not good with Osama bin Laden's death. This has nothing to do with conspiracy. You could look at the NSA records. She's on record for having been in the CIA. You can look at the CIA documents. I mean, this is absurd. Basically, you have a family who worked for the CIA, which is legitimate. I mean, the CIA should be very proud of this, that in the 1960s, they were able to recruit young single women to work in the areas of expertise in dealing with Russians who were involved in the overthrow of a coup of Suharto. Now, why they have to impose that narrative on the American public again 30 years later and 40 years later bespeaks the fact that the CIA may be out of control and the CIA is no longer relevant to either foreign affairs or domestic affairs.
But Doc, I understand it's an Doc, I understand.
Americans have to deal with and hold the Subcommittee on Intelligence accountable. Mr. Berman, who works in the House Intelligence Committee, should answer these questions.
I know, but I'm asking you,
the American public,
briefly, we're going to break. Why would they put out a fake one?
Because, I don't know, because the narrative does not work. It is a disaster. They have messed up from the beginning. Again, it's the Osama bin Laden, but put on Obama. The narratives are not working anymore. Public are too sophisticated.
We'll be right back. We're going to jam in calls, 1 minute per caller, because we got to get to this birth certificate video. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, final segment. Just got a few minutes left with Dr. Steve Pachinik. I want to jam in a few of your calls. We'll definitely have him back up and maybe just do calls, because I love the questions listeners bring up. Chris, Michael, Mark, Bob, Brett, please just have a quick question or comment for Dr. Pachinik. He's got to have quick answers. Chris in New Hampshire, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Pachinik. For years, the thing I couldn't understand about the whole 9/11 fiasco was how nobody from within government had the guts to stand up and come forward. And obviously things have changed, and you have restored a little bit of faith in my government, for me at least.
By the way, there have been a lot of whistleblowers from 9/11. Sybil Edmonds, Colonel Schaefer, the list goes on for hours, but go ahead.
I have been on the phone, sir, all day with the Attorney General, State Attorney General from New York, And their offices and their officers and investigators have also been on the phone with the district attorney in Lower Manhattan, who would have jurisdiction over a crime of this magnitude, obviously. Did you know, sir, that the district attorney in Lower Manhattan is Cyrus Vance Jr.?
Yes, I knew that. That's the son. I believe it's the son of the man I worked with, Cyrus Vance.
Yeah, here's the headline. D.A. Vance announces arraignment of Dominique Strauss-Kahn for sexual assault on hotel Cyrus Vance Jr.
Correct. Well, they are very, very eager to hear from you. They want to speak with you regarding impaneling a grand jury investigation to hear what you have said. I have their phone number here if you'd like it.
Not at this particular point, but if they're happy to reach me, they know where to get me.
Okay, I have given them all your contact information, and actually, if you guys want to hear the interview that I conducted with their senior lead investigator at the district attorney's office, you can find that at 911dude.net.
All right, we'll look it up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the people in New Hampshire.
All right, thank you so much. I got to jump to the next caller. That's interesting. Obviously, Dr. Pachina can find their number. He says he's ready to be contacted by them. Getting deeper into this, Doc. Michael in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Hey, I'd like to offer a brief observation and a synopsis of a solution that I've spent the last year of my life working on, and get Steve's informed comments on that.
Okay, real fast. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the observation is this. Currently, law enforcement, they use rewards for the arrest of and conviction of criminals, and it works very well. It doesn't take a whole lot of money to get really good results. But oddly enough, you see all the criminals that you've been talking about today on today's show, these law enforcement agencies, they're not offering rewards for their arrest. That's a very interesting observation. And because of this, I've spent the last year of my life working on a website called arrestwanted.com. And this is a website where Americans can directly contribute.
No, I've seen it, sir. You've sent it to us. We put money in and there's an award for somebody. That could be construed. We're putting bounties out, extrajudicial bounties out. And I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Mark in Michigan. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead. Quickly, please.
Hello, Alex. Dr. Pachenik.
Hi.
I was on, I believe it was Drudge Report a couple of good days ago, and they were talking about the 10 people that have turned up dead with regards to the BP Gulf oil spill, and also that the most experienced deepwater drilling manager at the time was removed from the platform just before they came to the most critical stage, and they brought in a rookie to take charge of the platform. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have the spill and Obama shuts down all drilling out in the Gulf. And shortly thereafter, he announces how he wants to be the best customer for Brazil. And then it comes out, to, actually, believe it or not, on Beck, how George Soros owns 25 million shares of this oil company down there in Brazil. And it just seems like the same modus operandi that we're seeing with 9/11 and how the government's working and big money working against us and our nation.
Well, I can tell you BP is not a very effective organization. Its shareholders are already questioning the management and CEO. He just messed up a major deal with Russia. So BP is on notice for the stockholders that they're not happy. So whatever else you could say, it's just not a very effective company.
All right.
Well-managed.
We've only got a minute or two left. Bob and California, you're on the air. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with someone of Dr. Pachinik's reputation and character. My question is this for Dr. Pachinik. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to read a Chinese document on unrestricted warfare. My question is, if he had a chance to read that document, is it still valid today?
I know the document you're referring to. Basically, the Chinese warfare doctrine states that they will do a low-tech war and that they will not allow any incursion into their sphere of influence, which they determined to be quite extensive in South China Sea. And they've had real problems now with Vietnam, the Philippines, and the Spratly Islands, and we're aware of that. The SyncPAC is doing a very good monitoring and management of that whole area. But the Chinese are very aggressive, contrary to what they claim. They're exceedingly aggressive. But, yes, I'm aware of the Chinese war doctrine. They're very aggressive.
All right. Thank you so much. We're just out of time. Sorry to Brett and others. StevePachinik.com. Doc, you've been very nice to spend time with us. A very interesting perspective on the world. We appreciate your courage coming here on the broadcast. And I'm going to go to this video, Obama bombshell, here in just a moment. But I'd like you to stay on hold so I can say bye to you once we go off air. But thank you for spending time with us.
Oh, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. And I do appreciate the audience. And please rest assured that you will be able to have an impact on our government. Thanks to Alex and other people. It's nothing to do with me, but we have an amazing public in America, and we can't be fooled repeatedly. And remember, each generation has to fight for its own democracy. So that's where we are right now.
Absolutely. Dr. Pachinik, again, thank you for joining us.